The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Good morning, all of God's people. Praise the Lord. It is some disadvantage to being up front. You don't see who came in afterwards. We got some friends that have come to bless us. I see my grandson back there. It's hard not to get emotional. Amen. Bow your heads and pray with me. Lord Jesus, we thank you for such an opportunity to minister your word today. Father, we're not perfect and we know it. There's no one in here perfect, and we all know it. We depend on you. We look to you to be our guide, our source, our inspiration, our motivation. Lord, lead us today. Father, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand. And we thank you that according to the principle in Peter, Father God, you said that you would exalt us in due time. So thank you, Father God. We praise you for that. And look to the hills from whence cometh our help. Our help cometh from the Lord. Amen. 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 God bless you today. All these beautiful faces in the place. Amen. I'm not a tall guy, but I feel like I need to elevate it a little bit, but it won't come up. Okay. All right. Well, we'll make do. We'll make do. Amen. Your inserts, of course, talk about the power of prayer. And the topic will be similar to that, not exactly that, but similar to it. But it's about prayer, and it's about all of the various things that this intimate relationship brings about. Amen. I'm getting it together here this morning. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. My daughter-in-law is well back there. Amen. And good friends from various Bible study groups all over the city. Amen. Thank you for your support. I do want to acknowledge Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. And Brother Eugene did kind of touch on it just a little bit. We experienced God in a very real way in March of 1978 on the campus of Southern University. And this journey began way back then. And, you know, through the hills and valleys, we are ending up where we are today. And there's still a bright future ahead for not only Minister Youngblood, but for every believer under the sound of my voice. There is a bright future. Amen. 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 Thank God for Pastor Prose and the Board of Deacons who basically said that we want to hear the Gideon that came in March. So thank you for entrusting me with our pastor's pulpit today. And I thank God for him in his absence. And again, God is a good God. We want to just talk briefly this morning about prayer and about post-salvation. Post-salvation, this is the most important thing, or one of the most important things that one can do. After the born-again experience, and I understand there's about six young people that gave their heart to the Lord doing VBS. That's numero uno. That's the most critical thing you can do, young people, and a very wise, extremely wise decision, Brother Eddie, and others that one can do. But after that, post-salvation, then there's this relationship that we have with God, or should strive to develop with God, that produces intimacy, that produces trust. And in that intimacy and in that trust comes or is born a prayer life. OK, Can I get a witness? Is born a prayer life. Yes, there's a study life. There's a meditation life. That's just as critical. But this prayer life is what we want to emphasize today. We'll take four texts, Psalm 55:17, and we just want to bring a little history into it. I know it's Old Testament, but it has relevance. It has relevance. Can I get a witness? Amen. Psalm 55:17. Amen. Psalm 55:17. And of course, this was authored by King David. And he made a very interesting comment in that 17th verse. Now, I'm kind of King Jamesy. I know a lot may be ESV and some other versions, and that's okay. Amen. But I'm kind of old school in that sense. So I'm reading out of the King James, a Thompson Chain reference, FYI. Amen. So he said, yeah, you're really old school, but okay. Psalm 55:17 says these words, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Now, this was penned by King David, of course, but it also was penned very early. This was written around 1026 B.C. So early on, David is recognizing the importance of prayer. And so David penned this, but of course Daniel, the prophet Daniel, picked up on this. Daniel 6:10, the book of Daniel, chapter 6, verse 10. Amen. Daniel picked up on this some 487 years later, depending on what source you use. I think the Scofield said it was 488, and then the Thompson Chain said 487. So I just went with 487. Amen. Amen. So the book of Daniel, chapter 6. And again, we're just, again, talking about building this relationship of prayer. Once you're born again, once you're saved, okay, we all should learn to pray, and we are, I know. And then we all should grow in prayer. And that's the tough part, Brother Eddie, growing in prayer after learning to pray. Verse 10 of Daniel chapter 6 says these words. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, and this was a decree signed by the king, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. So King David initiated it. Daniel picked up on it. And then, of course, Jesus in the New Testament, we won't go there for sake of time, but Jesus, out of Mark chapter 1, verse 35, rose early in the morning and went to a solitary place and there prayed. So no doubt these were the rudimentary parts of prayer, rudimentary in the sense that they were routine or devotional prayers. Okay? When you see pictures of Israel or in Jewish culture, those praying at the Western Wall, those are rudimentary or regimental, really the right word, regimental prayers. Okay? Regiment, routine prayers. Now, God answered them as well as those that are creative. Can I get a witness? But first, we want to start with the regimen. We want to start with the routine. We want to start with the devotion. Father, I pray for my mother who raised me. Father, I pray for my father who guided me. I pray for my sick. That's regimented. Can I get a witness? So we start there. And then we allow God to teach us and allow God to grow us in our prayers. Okay? James 5:16, another example. This is in, of course, the latter part of the New Testament. James 5:16. And some of your inserts, of course, have an excerpt from Focus on the Family and what Dr. Daly said about James 5:16. But I just want to just read it. Sometimes we need to see things. And pastor is a good pastor. And I know every time that he preaches, we turn and look to it. Amen? Amen. So James chapter 5, verse 16. And these are what I consider the golden text this morning for the message. These three. James 5, verse 16. Amen. And I know if you're already on your smartphone, I know you've been waiting on me for 2 minutes already. So be patient. Verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, or a righteous woman availeth much. Okay? So these are some of these basic regimented prayers. And so that's our foundation. So prayer is an intimate, trust-oriented discourse between you and God. And if done sincerely and humbly, it will yield good results. I think I'll repeat that. If done sincerely and humbly, it will yield good results. So David began in Psalm 55, right? So this is what some theologians call the law of first reference, because this is the first reference in the scriptures about the three times, right? Then Daniel was trained, no doubt, by his parents and grandparents. So we don't have a history of Daniel in his young years. He was a young man, probably a teenager, when he was taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar. But no doubt his parents and grandparents played a role in training Daniel to do the three times a day. Can I get a witness? Amen. Amen. And so this continued in his life, so important to him that it continued in his life all the way through his adult life, all the way through virtually to the end of Babylonian captivity. So it just says something about the importance of prayer. So post-salvation, the most important thing that one could do. But again, it takes this closeness and this trust with God, right? To feel comfortable to send that prayer up and to send it up with confidence that it will be answered. And I'm somewhere in 1 John with what I just described. We won't go there again for the sake of time. But 1 John 5, 14 and 15 talks about those petitions being answered. Amen? Luke 11, 1. Luke 11, 1. This is the Lord praying again. But the Lord had some observers this time in the book of Luke. Luke 11, 1 talks about his disciples observing him, right? And they made a statement after observing him. Verse 1 says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray.
as John also taught his disciples. Now, the keen eye would look at it this way. He didn't say, teach us to preach. He didn't say, teach us to study. But he said, teach us to do what? To pray. In other words, Lord, I see this closeness that you have with the Father. I see this walk that you have with the Father. And I'm so moved by this closeness and this intimate relationship that you have with the Father. Teach us to have the same kind of relationship. I want to shout and jump and flip and do everything else, but we're going to just restrain ourselves. But teach us to have that same kind of relationship. Mm-hmm. See, they couldn't really articulate it. He did several things, you know, cast out devils, raise the dead, this and that, miracle after miracle, whatever. But they were able to articulate that prayer life, and they would say, teach us to pray. I want that kind of relationship with God. John taught his disciples, right? They had a witness, right? The forerunner, John the Baptist. He taught his disciples, teach us, Lord, to pray. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's basic, but it's profound. Because it involves an intimate relationship with God. My God, today. Let's look at the impact of prayer. The impact of prayer. Amen. Now this one, we have to kind of have a keen eye. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verses 23 through 30. I'm ringing just a little bit, brothers. Acts chapter 4, verses 23 through 30. The sometimes long-term impact of prayer. See, prayer has an impact. In other words, we've heard it all our lives. Prayer can change things. Prayer changes things, right? It can have impact. That's basically what it's saying. It can have impact. So in Acts chapter 4, the young church and the new disciples, the 12 among others, right? The religious structure criticized and chastised them, right? For various reasons. Sometimes they were breaking the Sabbath. Sometimes they were doing other things. But they called them in, the Sanhedrin and others, called them in and kind of chastised them a little bit. And I think they might have whooped them. I don't know at this point. But nevertheless, they were let go. And then they came back among their own. And picking it up at verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God. See, so they're praying. Thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David, that's an interesting comment there, right? Has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ, for of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together, for to do whatever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Verse 29, And now, Lord, behold, their threatenings. Behold what? Their threatenings. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak the word. Verse 30, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. We'll stop right there. We'll stop right there. But behold their threatenings. Asking the Lord, hey, Lord, I know you see all. I know you know all. I know you are omnipresent. But behold their threatenings. See, that comes out of an intimate relationship. I'm sure they knew that he was omnipresent. I'm sure they knew he was all powerful. I'm sure they knew, right? He was had all knowledge. But that prayer was, Lord, behold their threatenings. Mm-hmm. You say, well, young blood, okay. You seem like you're making a big deal out of that. I'm making a big deal out of it because that prayer is similar to the Old Testament prayer that David and others prayed. Lord, don't forsake us. Lord, don't be angry toward us. Remember David in Psalm 51? Don't be angry toward me. You remember David in Psalm 27? Hold not your anger. Let not your anger. What am I saying? It's the intimacy. It's the specifics of the moment that's inspiring the prayer. Come on now. Can I get a witness somewhere? Can I just raise your right hand, let you know you still love me? Amen. It's the specifics of the prayer, the inspiration that's causing that prayer to be prayed like that. And notice what they also prayed. It didn't say, Lord, protect us from these threatenings, didn't it? Look at verse 29, the B portion. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we may speak the word. Wait a minute. Boldness is going to get us in more trouble. Right? Boldness is going to get us whooped again. But notice the intimacy of the prayer. See, what fear subsided, faith rose, grant us boldness that we may get back out there, Brother Eugene, and proclaim your word. Come what may, give us boldness that we may get back out there and proclaim your gospel. Give us boldness. And Lord, not only stop there, but stretch forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. I'm going to let it sink in. Because it's not time to run and hide. It's not time to tuck tail. Paul prayed the same prayer in Ephesians 6, right? With the whole armor of God, right? That somewhere around verse 19. Pray that your servant may speak boldly the things that he ought to speak. Paul, that's going to get you whipped again. You already said three times you had 39 stripes less one. Hello, somebody. So that's what prayer brings out. You get into that crucible with God, one-on-one. And in that crucible with God, you come out with bold faith. Because I've been alone with God. And now that I've been alone with God, nothing can stop me. Not even death. Mm-hmm. Why? Because didn't he say in Matthew 10, fear them who not only can kill the body, but who can kill the soul also? I said, Pastor John, please hurry up and come back. Please hurry up. The intimacy. Now, as we look at this, especially verse 30, stretching forth your hand to heal, signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Now, this administration was the administration of Peter, James, and John. Paul hadn't been saved yet. Can I get a witness? Paul didn't get saved to Acts chapter 9. We're in Acts chapter 4. So this is under the administration of who? Peter, James, and John, right? I'm just using the big three. It's all of them, but I'm just using, y'all understand what I'm doing, right? Now watch this. Keen eye, watch this. Acts chapter 14. Y'all still with me? Y'all still praying for me? Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying at halftime. We still got the second half. Acts chapter 14. Let's look at verses 1 through 3. Remember verse 30 now from Acts 4, right, Brother David? And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews also and the Greeks, believed. All right, good results. A lot of them believe, right? Verse 2, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. So you always have that force that starts with S-A-T-A-N, right? Always have that force against the truth. All right? So they stirred up their minds and evil affected against the brethren. Verse 3, long time therefore, this is their counter move. This is Paul and company's counter move. Now, they're countering. We got resistance. We got evil affected minds. This is our counter move. Can I get a witness? Any strategists out there? I know we got some former military people out there. That is military strategy, right? Take the high ground. That's a military strategy, right? Divide and conquer. That's a military strategy. Can I get a witness? Amen. So their counter was this: long time, therefore, abode they speaking. How? Boldly in the Lord, right? Which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted what? Signs and wonders to be done by their hands. The original prayer was prayed in Acts chapter 4 by a different set of disciples. Just raise your left hand and say, thank you. I don't see it clearly yet, but I'm getting there. They spoke it boldly, my brother, right? And then the signs and wonders were granted, primarily because God answered a prayer in Acts chapter 4, verses 29 and 30. Watch this. Some 16 years earlier. 16 years earlier. So what are you saying, young blood? What I'm saying is the residual effect of that prayer had a 16-year lifespan. Boy, y'all are quiet at Mooringsport, B.C. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. The impact of prayer, a 16-year residual effect. It's the same words. Look at them closely. It's the same words. See, they got into that crucible with God under persecution, under pressure, under stress, and God pushed this prayer out of them. And they said, Lord, give us boldness. And Lord, stretch forth your hand to heal. And Lord, grant signs and wonders. See, that's the pureness of the relationship. When you're in a pure relationship, an innocent relationship, a relationship of innocence, now it's almost like God himself is praying. Can I get a witness? Now, where am I going with that? Well, John 15 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what? Say it. What you will, and it shall be done unto you. So that's almost like God himself praying the prayer. I don't think you hear me. So what am I saying? The impact, 16-year lifespan, one prayer. Now, what am I saying? Young blood, you're getting all theological on us. No, I'm trying to expose the truth in our own prayer life to encourage us to continue to labor in prayer. To continue to labor in prayer. To continue to labor. See, those are encouraging moments to say, wow, 16 years? Wow. I'm going to keep praying for my grandson. Wow. I'm going to keep praying for my granddaughter. Wow. I'm going to keep praying for my niece and nephew. Wow. I ain't giving up. If you love the Lord, raise your right hand. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Y'all working me this morning, man. Come on, man. Good Lord, bro Jim. They working me this morning. We're going to look at an example here, and this is where my AV guys will help me a little bit. This is not only applies to the scripture, but we have I'm going to set this up for you first. But y'all know I'm a Gideon, right? And Gideons are aging, right? We're getting older, right? And so we're doing like Mooring Sport BC is doing. We trying to recruit young people and younger men and so forth. And we had a Christmas party. Y'all help me with the time. We had a Christmas party in 2022, and there was a 91-year-old Gideon who, in fairly good health, but he was on a walker at the time. And so for the party, he had just a walking cane, right? And so coming out of the restaurant, USA Cafe in Bossier City, right? Coming out of the restaurant, somehow he lost his balance with the cane. And when he fell, he hit his head on the parking curb. You know, the humps that your vehicle can't go into the restaurant, you know, so the concrete curb. And so he had two holes, two gashes, and I was the first one to see him. So I went back in and told other brothers. I said, Billy, his name is Billy, had a fall. And so I went back out to pray for him. And so somehow God was able to recover him, strengthen him. I think he had six stitches in one place, and he just wanted me to play it, and he's going to put it up. Is it that one there?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And so, and then this was, so he left me a voicemail, and this was December the 12th of last year. And let's see if we can, if they can pick it up. It's low, low. Cannot. I can hear it, but it's very low.
I got my volume on max. I just don't have the speaker on, though.
It's going to be all right.
Okay, okay. My bad.
Appreciate you, man. A lot.
We'll remind you.
Talk to you later, Dylan.
We'll do it one more time. Okay. I'm slow with the technology.
Hey, Billy, I'm just Billy Wood. I'm recovering at home from my ball the other night. And I just wanted to call you and tell you how much I appreciate you, man. I was not completely out there for nanoseconds or how long it was. But when I woke up, you were holding my hand and praying. And I tell you, it just meant so much to me. And it just felt a calmness and that everything was going to be all right. And I appreciate you, man, a lot. And love you. Talk to you later, Dylan.
Amen. So we got it. Thank you. Thank you,
Gene. Thank you. Thank you. Praying has impact. Now, there was a fight going on. I just happened to be involved in the fight, right? But still, fear was trying to come. He's 91 years old now. Fear is trying to come from the outside. My leg was kind of like this when I was praying for him. But I knew where fear came from. So we had to keep proclaiming the word. And so I prayed, held his hand, and proclaimed, Billy Wood will not go out like this. This is not the end of his assignment. He will not finish his assignment this way. And we fought. We fought giving glory to God. It's not the man. It's God. And God answered the prayer. So he's with us today. He's 92, of course. He's old. With us today. Amen. But my point is prayer has impact. And sometimes we have to take it off the pages of scripture and put it in the pages of what? Life. Amen. Amen. Individual benefit to prayer, and I'm hurrying to a close. I'm trying. James chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. James chapter 5. This is that individual benefit. It's in your insert already, okay? But I want to just emphasize that. Thank you, brothers upstairs. I just want to emphasize that in this individual benefit, you got to have a trust relationship. You can't tell everything to everybody. You know, confess your faults. Your fault may be, you know, I like too many honey buns. Okay? You can't confess that to everybody. You understand what I'm saying? You can't. I hope y'all understand what I'm saying. You have to have a friend that. See, Eddie's agreeing with me, okay? Just tell your wife only, Eddie. Okay. No. But confess your faults one to another. You got to have a trust relationship with that person. You can't just say, okay, this is a fellow Christian. He's a church member. No. Pray. Ask for wisdom. And be deliberate in selecting someone. See, because this is that backdrop now where that trust relationship, human to human. Remember, we talked before about the trust between God and you. But this is human-to-human trust. In that scenario, you confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. See? And the Lord will answer your prayer. Amen? How many of y'all understand what I'm saying? Right? They may not necessarily be your BFF. It could be somebody else. Discern. And then share. Discern and then share. And the last one, Luke 18:1, as we hurry to a close. Luke 18:1. Has this been a blessing to anybody today?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Luke 18:1. And this is Christ. And we want to end on this. And I think we'll enunciate a portion of a hymn in our absolute close. But Luke 18:1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end. So this is, you go back to English now. You're going back to English class, right, in elementary school, and you're breaking down what? Subject, verb, direct object. So this is what Christ is after. It's a parable, right, which means it's a story, but this is the end. This is what he's after. To this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. See, this is what he's after. This is the direct object, or it could be the subject. That men ought always to pray and not faint. Not give up, not quit, not stop at halftime, not say because it's 24-3, Tigers, it's over. Right? No, it's not over. Men ought always to pray and not faint. So this is Christ giving this example in verses 1 through 8. We won't enunciate it for the sake of time, but we know the story, right? The unjust judge who is representative of a heathen, an unsaved person, right? And this widow continually came to him, was like dripping water, like a faucet that leaks. I'm back. He said, Lord, this woman's going to get on my nerves. I got to answer this woman. That's how our prayer life should be. The same way. Consistent. Not throwing in the towel. Not giving up. Praying. Falling on our knees, whether it's an emergency or not. It could be a celebration. Somebody could have just got a scholarship to a university. That's a reason to fall on your knees and pray. Lord, I pray that they finish. I pray that they continue the high scholastic aptitude they have. Give them favor. Whatever teams they try out for, let them make it. Hello, somebody. Amen. So, as we close, and we'll issue a brief invitation, I just want to take this part of this hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Yes. Is there trouble anywhere? Yes. We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Father, we thank you today. We love you so much. Help us continue to call on you in good times, in bad times, and in between times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to issue a brief invitation. Amen. For those who do not know the Lord in the pardon of their sins. Now is the time. The title of the message was post-salvation. This is the most important thing to do. So we definitely need to meet the prerequisite of having salvation. Is there one today that will want to give their heart to the Lord? I know six were saved on VBS, and it was a tremendous time. But now we're at Sunday, July the 2nd. Is today your day? Or you could say, young blood, I just need prayer. I just want you to pray for me. We can do that. We can do that in this time that we have. Or you may have a special prayer need, whether it's a relative, whether it's a financial situation or whatever. Whatever the case may be, we will join together with you in prayer. Is there one today? Is there one? Amen. We've done as the Lord has commanded. There's still plenty of good room at the cross.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.